Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, November 22nd, 2021, Psalm 25.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Psalm 25, the 25th Psalm, this tremendous acrostic Psalm. Human author David, and certainly apropos in the time in which we are living. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. One announcement, Saul, she has many nicknames. Her real name is Soledad. I call her Sola Mom. And she's also called SOL, and that's a different moniker. Saul goes in for surgery, back surgery tomorrow. So I encourage all of you to pray for the doctor. There'll be the best back repair he's ever done or ever will do in his whole life. So she'll be going in, and she's already practiced. She's supposed to be in bed for a while. She's already practiced hollering out to Gary, "Gary, I don't hear the vacuum cleaner going." So you got a lot to do there. Well, you all met Bob Wilkin when he was here and spoke at the church. And we've posted out there the newsletter, and you can read it. He talks about being here on the one side, and then if you turn it over, he talks about it on the other side. He is also the chief editor of Grace and Focus. And on the first page it says, "From the editor," but it's Bob Wilkin in headlines that says, Merry Christmas every day. He said, in October, I spoke at Upland Bible Church in Las Vegas. The pastor, Rich Olson, likes to greet people by saying, Merry Christmas. And he does this all year long. He greeted two of his grandkids that way, and they returned the greeting. Rich likes to say that every day is a celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How true. And he also says, Happy Thanksgiving. Every day is Thanksgiving Day, too. We are to give thanks for all that we have. Life, health, family, food, home, clothes, jobs, friends, church, so on. Anyway, you hear it all the time. But the world doesn't hear it all the time. I just got my ears lowered today. That's a haircut, in case you never know what that is. My dad would always say when he came back, he'd say, I just got my ears lowered. And I would look. He never explained that he just got a haircut, but that's how he described it. And my barber has contracted COVID, and he is home. He's doing a lot better. He expects to be back in the cutting hair again. Tim gave me his number, and I called him, and I heard that he was in really, really rough shape, and could barely make it to the phone, could barely answer the phone, could barely talk when he did answer the phone. But when I called him, he sounded pretty doggone good. And he was extremely surprised to get a phone call from one of the people that comes in and gets their hair cut. I said, well, I just wanted to call and ask you, would it be all right for us to put you on our prayer list? I said, we got some great prayer warriors in our church, and they would love to pray for you and your COVID. I said, you sound like you're on the way of total recovery. And he said, well, I would, he was totally taken aback. I would love to have you put me on the prayer list. And I said, well, no matter what God has in store for you, I said, understand this. You can have Christmas every day. Even when you're home with COVID, you can have Christmas every day. But it's only because of Jesus Christ. You will never, ever have Christmas every day until you first of all have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then as you grow up spiritually in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you know what? No matter whether you're sick or whether you're well, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, no matter what is going on, you can have Christmas every day. You can have Christmas when you're living. You can have Christmas when you're dying. And so you relax. We all have two phases of our life. We have a living phase and we have a dying phase. Sometimes you come in here, it looks like you're in the dying phase. But we all have a living phase and a dying phase. Well, you ought to have Christmas and Thanksgiving in the living phase, but now listen. You're going to have the dying phase, and you ought to have Christmas and Thanksgiving in the dying phase. And that is where there's impact. That has tremendous impact in the world. when you can have Christmas and Thanksgiving in the dying phase. The world almost never, ever sees that. All right, Psalm 25. This is a great acrostic psalm, 22 verses, 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 1, the Aleph-Vav, to you, O Lord, God the Father, all prayers are directed to God the Father, precisely correct procedure. To you, O Lord, God the Father, I lift up my soul in prayer. Verse 2, the Beth file, and it starts out with batach, one of the great faith rest verbs in the Hebrew. In you I trust, batach. I pick up my troubles and my problems and I slam them on you, O my God, God the Father. Do not let me become confused and do not let my enemies rejoice in military triumph over me. That's the revolutionary forces headed up by Absalom and Ahithophel. Verse 3, the Gimel file. Indeed, all of those who wait for you, who have maximum confidence in you, living the faith rest life, they will not be put to shame or confused. However, the ones who act treacherously and deceitfully without cause, they will be put to shame and confused. And then verses 4 through 7, divine guidance. The Daleth file, verse 4, cause me to know your ways, O Lord. Intensively teach me your paths. That is, train me in your ways. Verse 5, we have two letters, the He and the Vav file in verse 5. First half, the He file. Guide me by means of your truth. Divine guidance comes through the absolute truth of the Word of God that you learn and believe and have in your heart. That's the counselor you need. You don't need a human counselor. That is total BS. And we got all these Christians running around to get counseling. And we got all these idiotic Christians hanging out shingles as Christian counselors. That's the last place you need to go. What you need is to have the wonder counselor. Who's the wonder counselor? Jesus Christ is the wonder counselor. Counsel you. And how does the wonder counselor counsel you? Through the mind of Christ. Jesus Christ is the wonder counselor. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. You consistently and faithfully assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and metabolize the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. Get the mind of Christ in your heart. And when you have the mind of Christ in your heart, then the wonder counselor, Jesus Christ, will counsel you from His thinking, His Word in your heart. That's the counseling you need. Not some idiot hanging a shingle out and you go and he gives you, well, it's usually crap. That's the last thing you need. That's why I don't counsel. When I first came here, I did it a few times, and I discovered I gave great. By the way, I gave great. I gave great information to the people. Absolutely perfect. I also started out by saying, I really don't want to hear a damn thing that you came here for, because you're destroying your privacy. Why would you want to do that? Why would any of you want to destroy your privacy? I try my damnedest to protect your privacy. But then you just give it up. So So I give, and I give it, I have given phenomenal advice. And then it just went down the toilet, and away they went. They went down the toilet, it went down the toilet, everything went down the toilet. So I just said, that's it. My counseling is done right here by teaching you the Word of God. And now you can assemble with positive volition and humility and listen and respond to God's Word. Believe the Word of God. Have it transferred by grace into your heart where it becomes wisdom. Wisdom. And in wisdom, now you can, by the filling of the Spirit, skillfully and accurately apply the truth of the Word of God to your life, to your situation, to your circumstances, and clear the hurdle. It's just a matter of clearing the damn hurdle. And you have to learn precisely correct procedure, God's problem-solving devices, and use them. You learn God's problem-solving devices, you use them, you clear the hurdle, and you increase your spiritual momentum, and you continue your advance to spiritual maturity where you glorify God to the maximum. Cause me to know your ways, O Lord. Intensively teach me your path. That's the doll of fire. Hey, file, guide me by means of your truth and intensively teach me, because you are the God of my deliverance, my rescue, my safety. All day long, I have confidence in you. Living the faith rest life. Spirituality in the Old Testament. The Zion file, verse 6. And we have, in verse 6, we have the verb zaker, that's the zayin, and the verb is zaker, remember. In verse 6, David is asking God to remember who and what he is, what God is, and to deal with David based on God's essence, God's grace, God's compassions. So it's a fantastic prayer. Remember your compassions, O Lord. Remember your grace, your loving kindnesses. Remember who and what you are, because they are from eternity past. When we get to verse 7, we haven't got there, but we're going to get there tonight. Verse 7, we have Zakir, but it's with the negative al. Do not remember me. God, I want you to remember your compassions, your grace, who and what you are. But don't remember me. Don't remember my sins. Don't remember my reversionism. Don't remember my life living in the cosmic system. So we're going to have Zakir remember, verse 6, and then with regard to God and who and what he is, and then verse 7, the principle that none of us are perfect. Do you understand that? None of us are perfect. Now, if you're single and you're looking forward to the divine institution of marriage, I want you better understand something right off the bat. Ladies, there's no such thing as a perfect man. There's no such thing as a perfect man. Now, there are perfect assholes. But that's just a small part of a man. Or a woman. And I know, because I've had a few colonoscopies, and they take pictures. I don't know why they take pictures. And then they give you the picture. Oh, my God, that's about as perfect an asshole as I've ever seen right there. And men, you need to realize there's no such thing as a perfect woman. And you better know that before you ever trip your way to the altar. There are no perfect men. There are no perfect women. Everybody has a sin nature. Everybody has a free will. And everybody sins. We all sin. You can look at every believer in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, sin. And David, we know more about David's sins and life in the cosmic system and reversionism and than we do about many. David wasn't perfect. And David came under tremendous divine discipline for his sins. And we're going to be studying that. His sins were worthy of capital punishment. He committed murder. Murder, you should be put to death through capital punishment. But God promised David he would not, after David rebounded. Now look, nobody here is perfect. You sin and you will get in the cosmic system. But you have to come to your senses and rebound and get back into fellowship with God. If you don't do that, you're going to go right on out. You have to recover. You have to rebound. You have to come to your senses and get back into fellowship with God. David did that. But the sins he committed were so grievous, he had to come under installment discipline. Over 15 years of installment discipline. Now, as soon as he rebounded, God forgave him his sin and cleansed him of the sins. But the discipline came and had to come in installments for 15 years. And the last installment is the one that we are studying here, Psalm 25, the Absalom conspiracy and revolution. So in verse 6, Zachar, remember your compassions, O Lord, and your grace, because they are from eternity past. This is a prayer of spiritually mature believer David in times of historical crisis and national disaster. This prayer illustrates the genuine humility of the spiritually mature believer David. Even though David was a great genius in many fields, David is not depending on his great ability and genius. David is saying, Lord, I am totally helpless and I need your help. David is saying, Father, I am nothing and you are everything. And this is maximum grace orientation. David is concentrating on the essence of the living and true God in times of historical crisis and national disaster. David is applying the essence of God rationale as part of his faith rest life. God gives grace and compassion to the humble, but he goes to war with the arrogant. James 4:6, 1 Peter 5:5. David is saying, I am placing my total confidence in who and what you are, Father, in your infinite integrity, absolute righteousness, perfect justice, infinite virtue. And I know, sir, that you are infinitely fair with all of your creation. And I know, Father, that you will be infinitely fair with me, David. He is thinking divine viewpoint like Jeremiah in Lamentations 3, 22 to 24. Great is thy faithfulness. In times of the fifth cycle of national discipline, watching Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans destroy the southern kingdom, destroy the temple, slaughter the people, take the survivors into captivity back to Babylon. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. He's thinking like Job in Job 1:21. The Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. The essence of God is eternal. God is eternal. The essence of God is eternal. The attributes of God have always existed. The sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. God's grace and compassions, it's in the plural, rachamim. It's not compassion, one, it's compassions, plural. God's grace and compassions are based on God's absolute righteousness and perfect justice and infinite virtue love. And therefore, God's policy of grace has always existed. Just as God is eternal, His grace and compassions are eternal. And David is applying the essence of God rationale to the historical crisis of the Absalom revolution and the civil war. David has the faith rest life as a problem-solving device in his soul and is applying the essence of God rationale to this historical crisis that he finds himself in. David totally understands that he is encapsulated by the integrity of God as of the moment of his faith in Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole basis of David's prayer is that he possesses God's imputed righteousness. And once you believe in Jesus Christ and have the grace pipeline established, now God's personal love and blessings and compassion and grace come to the believer from justice on one end to imputed righteousness in the believer on the other. Blessing and personal love from God is only possible because we possess the imputed righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The justice of God is the source of all grace, blessing, and compassions to the believer in Jesus Christ, down that grace pipeline to imputed righteousness. While David had to flee for his life and leave behind his great material wealth that he had accumulated as the king of Israel, he carried with him in his soul the great spiritual wealth of the Word of God. Metabolized doctrine in David's heart was ready to be used in this national crisis, the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. The spiritually mature believer can switch from his prosperity scale of values to his adversity scale of values because of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. The winner believer can walk out. The winner believer can walk out on a lifetime of accumulated personal possessions and never look back. And that is David. Now that brings us to verse 7, Psalm 25, verse 7. And the principle of Psalm 25, verse 7 is that no one is perfect. We all sin. We have all spent time in Satan's cosmic system, every one of us. So in verse 7, we have the Kath file. That's how it looks in the letter. C-H-E-T-H. Kath. All right. By way of introduction, a couple of things. One, the Kath is the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Number 8. Two, the kath represents offense. Now David knows that he's not perfect. David knows that he not only sinned, David knows that he lived in the cosmic system a long time. And he committed grievous sins that were worthy of capital punishment. He knows that. He knows that God could have taken him out, sin unto death, boom. David rebounded. And we're going to look at his use of rebound. See, everybody thinks 1 John 1:9 is the only place that you have rebound. No, it's not. And we'll see. Do you know where David used rebound? Okay, well, you will. The case represents offense. 3, all of us as believers are sinners. Every one of you here tonight, even though I saw some of you straightening up your halo as you came in, all of you are sinners. We all have an old sin nature. We all have a free will. And that means we all use that free will to make bad decisions to sin. And when you make bad decisions to sin, where does that put you? Right into Satan's cosmic system. 4, David has sinned, well, dramatically in his life. His sins are very well known. Five, David got into Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And as a result, he came under tremendous divine discipline. David got into Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. And as a result, he came under tremendous divine discipline. 6, David committed adultery with Bathsheba. In fact, the verb in the Hebrew, he raped her in committing adultery. And then, if that wasn't enough, he murdered her husband, Uriah the Hittite. Seven. David's reversionism resulted in great installment discipline over, 15 years. David's reversionism resulted in great installment discipline over 15 years. Eight, the Absalom revolution is the fourth and last installment of divine discipline in David's life. The Absalom revolution is the fourth and last installment of divine discipline in David's life. Nine, the Kath file is God's grace and compassions, plural, to the believer. To believers who have failed miserably in the past, but came to their senses, rebounded, and recovered spiritually. The Kath file is God's grace and compassions to believers who have failed miserably in the past, but have come to their senses, rebounded, and recovered spiritually. following rebound. Well, they grew up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He became their most important love. 10. The Caith file emphasizes the ability of God to keep loser believers, sinful believers, alive in the angelic conflict. The fence. God put a fence around David. Oh, he was absolute righteousness and perfect justice. That means guaranteed that he was going to discipline David. And he could have taken him out to sin unto death. Murderers carries with it capital punishment. But when David came to his senses and rebounded, God the Father said, I'm not going to take you out to sin unto death. You're going to receive lots of installment discipline. So the Caith file emphasizes the ability of God to keep sinful believers alive in the angelic conflict. 11. God puts a fence around us. That's the Caith file. See it? You can see the fence. God puts a fence around us, the Caith file, and keeps us alive to fulfill His plan for our lives. And He kept David alive. And this is the last installment of the installment discipline. And He kept David alive those 15 years. And then He delivered David. The establishment forces defeated the revolutionary forces. David was restored as king of Israel. And the greatest years of David's life was after he was restored to king, placed back on the throne. And some of the greatest psalms he ever wrote were during this time and after God's gracious deliverance. So, verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. This is the niphal imperfect of the verb zakir. So remember, we had zakir in verse 6, but this was, he's praying to God the Father to remember who and what God the Father is. Remember your grace, sir. Remember your compassion, sir. Remember who and what you are, sir. That he wanted God to remember who and what he is. Now in verse 7, do not remember me. Remember not. Niphal imperfect of the verb zakir with the negative al. We got to get a positive al somewhere. Al. It's especially since you're a deacon now, you need to be a positive al. So we have the verb zakir with the negative al, plus the noun ne'urim with the first person singular suffix, plus the noun katoth, plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the noun pshah, as Mr. Rudy would say, with first person singular suffix. Zakir. Z-A-K-A-R. Zakir. All right, a couple of things. One, zakir is the Hebrew verb to remember, to recall, to call to mind. To remember, to recall, to call to mind. Two, David is offering a prayer to God the Father. He has offered all the way through Psalm 25. We have prayer after prayer after prayer. This, and David is offering a prayer to God the Father. Three, God the Father is the omniscient, all-knowing God. He is the omniscient, all-knowing God. And what does that mean with regard to you and me? That means that God knew you before you were ever here. In eternity past, God knew all about you. God knew about all your sins, all your failures, all your time in the cosmic system. And God knew that in eternity past. And Jesus Christ still went to the cross and paid the penalty for your sins. So he knew all about David's sins and rebellion in eternity past. That's point four. He knew all about David's sins and rebellion and cosmic system function. And he knew all these things about David before David was ever here. He knew about it in eternity past. Five, the negative Al Aleph A-L, Al. The negative Al is joined by a Makef to Zakir. David is praying to God the Father, do not remember my sins nor my rebellion. That's the best translation. My rebellion, my revolution, my life living in the cosmic system, in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred in the past. Six. Now, before Psalm 25 was written, David has already rebounded. David had already rebounded about 14, 15 years before. And God forgave him his sins and he was restored to fellowship with God. And now, because of the grievousness of his sins and his cosmic system function, he came under installment discipline. But David has already rebounded years before Psalm 25. Turn over to Psalm 32, not that far. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, the first verse of Psalm 32 that author David, Le David. When it says Le David, that's the Lama of authorship. Human author of Psalm 32, David. Le David. And then look down at verse 5. Then I acknowledge my sin to you. And you don't go around confessing your sins to people. Don't come in and confess your sins to me. When I was at Dallas Seminary, yeah, we had a lot of quacks and weirdos and stuff at Dallas. Seminary students are really some of the strangest people you ever meet. And I get somebody knocks on my door, I open the door, it's one of these students, and he says, I just wanted to tell you I'm confessing my sin because I hated you. Now, you see, I never thought to... I kind of thought this was an okay guy. Until he said something stupid like that. And then I thought, yo, this is a stupid, dumb shit. Doesn't know the first thing about... I said, I'm not God. You don't have to come and confess your sin. I said, if you think you've sinned, go to the Father and acknowledge your sins to Him. But don't come and knock on my door and say that. I said, he said, well, I hated you because you walked past me and you didn't say hi. I've driven past my mother and not said hi because I didn't. There's a lot going on. When I'm driving. When I'm going by people, I'm going to class. I'm thinking about the class. There's 800 and some students when I was there, and I walked by a lot of them. I didn't say hi, but all of a sudden this guy hated me because I didn't say hello. You know. After the farther he went on, the more I thought, oh Lord, I don't know what gift he has, but I hope he decides to butter buns at Roy Rogers instead. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. You acknowledge your sins to God the Father. And did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions, and this is rebellion and revolution, to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. David has already rebounded. Long before what's going on in Psalm 25. So David has already rebounded, and the Lord has already forgiven him, and the Lord has already cleansed him from all unrighteousness. So, 7. So David is not rebounding in Psalm 25:7 in our verse. He's not rebounding in our verse. Eight, David has come under installment discipline from the Lord. David has come under installment discipline from the Lord. 9, installment discipline is the alternative to the sin unto death. Installment discipline is the alternative to the sin unto death. Ten, as David goes through this installment discipline, he has become very aware of the possibility of being removed from life before he can deal with this national crisis of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. He's aware of that. So as David goes through this installment discipline, he's become very aware of the possibility of being removed from life before he can deal with the national crisis of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. So David is praying, do not remember my sins and rebellion, revolution, and failures of the past. Now we have two different nouns here. First of all is the noun katoth. That's, notice, kath, that's the first word in this verse. This is the kath file. That's the Doggish, which doubles the letter Taith. That's the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So we got C-H-A-T-T-A, olive, T-H. Katoth. And katoth means sin. We have it in the plural as sins. David had lots of sins. And then we have ne'urim. En Shiva Ayin. Long U R, long I M. Ne'urim. And Ne'urim means youth or your early life. This is the sins of my early life. The sins of my early life. And then he has the conjunction Vav. And here would be translated Nor. Nor, not only Katoth, the sins of my early life, but also the Pesha. P-E-S-H-A-I-N. Pesha. With the first person singular suffix. And a couple of things. One, Pesha comes from the verb Pasha. It comes from the verb pasha. P-A-S-H-A-I-N. Pasha. And Pasha means to rebel, to rebel, to revolt, to transgress. To rebel, to revolt, to transgress. That's the verb Pasha. So, point two, the noun Pesha means rebellion against God. Rebellion against God, revolt against God, transgressions against God. Rebellion against God, revolt against God, transgressions against God. Three, while Katoth looks at David's specific sins of adultery and murder, Pesha emphasizes David's living his life in Satan's cosmic system, his rebellion against God, living in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So while Katoth looks at David's specific sins of adultery and murder, Pesha emphasizes David's living his life in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred, his rebellion and revolution against God. First person singular suffix, my rebellion, my revolt, my transgressions. So the corrected translation, do not remember my sins of my early life, nor my rebellion, living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. According to thy mercy. And this is the preposition kaf, prefixed to the noun kesev, which you're very familiar with, the Hebrew word for grace in the Old Testament scriptures, with the second person singular masculine suffix. The preposition kaf, keshava, kaf means according to the norms and standards of second person singular masculine suffix, according to the norms and standards of your kesev. C-H-E-S-E-D, kesev. According to the norms and standards of your grace. Do not remember, sir, do not remember the sins of my early life, nor the rebellion, living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, according to the norms and standards of your grace. And then he says, remember thou me. Now, the first part of this verse, it was Zakir with the negative al. Do not remember. Now he leaves the negative al out. Now he puts, remember thou me. Cal imperative of Zakir, joined by a makef to the preposition lamath with the first person singular suffix, joined by a makef to the second person personal pronoun atah. Anytime you have a personal pronoun, whether Hebrew or Greek, it doesn't have to be there. But it's put in there for emphasis. And here we have the personal pronoun, atah. David puts this there under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Aleph, A-T-T-A-H, atah. You, and you refers to God the Father, the one to whom David is praying. You, Father. So one, the use of the personal pronoun adds great emphasis. David is putting the spotlight on who and what God is. Don't remember me and my sins, my adultery, my sin of murder, my life in rebellion against you, sir, living in the cosmic system. But I'm putting the spotlight on who and what you are. So the use of the personal pronoun adds great emphasis and puts the spotlight on who and what God is. 2, David is using the essence of God rationale in his faith rest life. You see, this is almost at the end of his installment discipline. It's been 15 years. As soon as he rebounded, he got back into fellowship with God. He came to the senses, rebounded, started living the spiritual life, the faith rest life, and he started growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, developed a tremendous love for God, tremendous love for the Word of God. He knows God, he knows the essence of God, and all of this is working in his faith rest life. David is using the essence of God rationale in his function of the faith rest life. 3, he is especially emphasizing the integrity of God, God's righteousness and perfect justice, which is the basis for the grace pipeline. According to the norms and standards of your grace, you, Father, you remember me. According to the norms and standards of your grace, you remember me. So this, he is especially emphasizing the integrity of God, God the Father's righteousness and justice, which is the basis of the grace pipeline. 4, David knows that he is encapsulated by the integrity of God. He knows he is encapsulated by the integrity of God. 5, he knows that God the Father loves him with infinite personal love because he has the imputed righteousness of God residing in him. He knows that God the Father loves him with infinite personal love because he has the imputed righteousness of God residing in him. And this is very important for you. This is what will enable you to have Christmas in your dying phase as well as your living phase. When you totally understand you're encapsulated by the integrity of God, when you totally understand that God loves you with infinite personal love because you have his imputed righteousness, then that will enable you to have Christmas and Thanksgiving in your dying phase as well as in your living phase. And you will enjoy the dying phase. It should never be anything negative or fearful. It should be something that is very wonderful, magnificent. And enjoy it. Enjoy it. You should have a total comprehension in a sense that Jesus Christ is holding your hand. And he's going to go with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to go right through it with you. And then you're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. And you ought to have Christmas and Thanksgiving just in seeing in your soul Jesus Christ holding your hand and hauling you off to heaven, face to face with him. It ought to be fantastic. So he knows. What's the last point you got, Gary?
5.
Okay, that's all you get. The preposition lameth plus the first person singular suffix literally means to me. And this time zakar is used without the negative al. So, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, The Hebrew Lexicon, page 270, says that in our verse, this second use of zakar means, 1, to remember individuals with grace. with grace. And two, it means granting their prayer requests. And God the Father hears the prayers of a grace-righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer. The prayer of a grace-righteous believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. And third, it means protecting and delivering them in times of national crisis and disaster. So Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 270, says that in our verse, the second use of Zacher means to remember individuals according to the norms and standards of grace, granting their prayer requests, protecting and delivering them in times of national crisis and disaster. David is praying that God will remember David based on how great God is. He is praying that God will remember David based on how great God is, on the basis of his righteousness and justice, on the basis of his grace and his multitude of compassions. He does not want God to remember how horrible David is. So the corrected translation: do not remember the sins of my early life, nor my rebellion, my living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. But according to the norms and standards of your grace, you, Father, remember me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. We have here the preposition lameth prefixed to the conjunction ma'an, plus the noun tov with the second person singular masculine suffix, plus the tetragrammaton. So we have the preposition lameth prefixed to ma'an. Lut ma'an. Looks like this. There's the preposition lameth. It's prefixed to ma'an. So it's El Shava M-A-I-N-A-N. Lut ma'an. And it introduces a purpose clause. So you translate it for the purpose of, and then tov. T long O B. Tov. Tov means is the intrinsic goodness. This is the equivalent to agathos in the Greek. This is tov, intrinsic goodness. Second person singular masculine suffix, your, Father, your intrinsic goodness. And then the tetragrammaton, the holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures. YHWH. So, corrected translation. Do not remember the sins of my early life, nor my rebellion, my living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. But according to the norms and standards of your grace, you, Father, remember me, protect me, deliver me for the purpose of your intrinsic goodness, sir, O Lord. I love this because David, yeah, he failed. Yeah, I mean, he totally blew it. And he knows it. But he has such great humility, and he doesn't point his finger at anybody else. He doesn't point his finger at people. He doesn't point his finger at Absalom. He doesn't point his finger at anyone except himself. And by the way, that if you don't have Christmas and Thanksgiving every day, don't point your finger at somebody else. You have no right to do that. Just point the finger at yourself. It's totally your own fault. Nobody else's fault. It's totally your own fault. If you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You will learn God's problem-solving devices. You will grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Lord will become your most important love. You will love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind. And Jesus Christ said that is the most important commandment in the Scriptures. And that isn't even in the Ten Commandments. That's Deuteronomy 6:5. That's the mandate. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind. And if you do that, then you can fulfill the second, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19:8. Impersonal love for all. David has that. Yeah, he failed miserably. He rebounded. He wrote out the installment discipline. And he's right at the end of that installment discipline. And he's about to be delivered, returned to the palace. And the best years of his life are still ahead. Oh, time flies when you're having fun. Okay. Well, come back next week for your installment discipline. No. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.